Hi, Chief Halton here at Fire Engineering Podcasts, and we are being brought to you by Tenkata Protective Fabrics and their Made for Life podcast hosted by Stuart Perry. The Made for Life podcast unearths the work experiences of real men and women who rely on the protective clothing and equipment to get the job done. From firefighters to industrial workers to military personnel, recent episodes explore the dangers and challenges of wildland firefighting, peer counseling for first responders, and the ins and outs of turnout gear. It's the Made for Life podcast from Tenkata Fabrics. Find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. And thank you for listening to Fire Engineering.
All right, everybody, thanks for joining in. It's actually depending upon where you're listening to, whether it be on the live feed or on the podcast. This actually was pre-recorded. We all had a scheduled get-together already, so we decided we were going to record our session beforehand. So hopefully you get a little bit of something out of it. The main thing we're going to talk about today is some stuff with some things with training, and I know a lot of it has been discussed as far as what are you doing with the things with the COVID and the lockdown, and as dynamic as some of these things have been coming in and out and procedures changing and stuff. One of the biggest things is your fundamentals. What are you doing to keep up on your fundamentals? Becomes very easy to become complacent, especially in these times where you're not necessarily able to do things with your crew and others within your ship. So we want to talk about a couple of things with that and how you can be motivated, thoughts and ideas to stay up on that, even in some of the online classes, which continual classroom session after classroom session sometimes also gets mundane, but there's been a lot of good opportunities out there as far as some online classes and even some online virtual seminars. So we got a pretty good group of us here today. We'll throw it out there, and I know we were talking about even a couple of things with some fitness before we got on here. So we'll throw it over, and Kyle, you got anything to start off with this evening?
Yeah, just like we said, start throwing around the ideas. Me and you were talking the other day, just some individual stuff. I know Captain Ibrader and Captain Halsey are on here. Unfortunately, with our fire district, we kind of had an outbreak of some COVID employees, so they pretty much shut us down to individual isolation throughout the entire fire district, which has kind of brought up some of these conversations of, well, what's some stuff you can do instead of just guys sitting around playing Xbox all day long and not really getting anything productive done. Like Gary, you were talking about just doing SCBA drills. I mean, that's something just reiterate with everybody and kind of talk about, you know, timing, getting your face piece on. There's a ton of little things out there that we can send out to our guys of, you know, pull the ladders off the trucks and look at them. There's so much things you can pull off your truck and kind of go over that you don't have to be right on top of each other. And then also just individual company trainings. There's a ton of stuff with SCBA drills. Some of the stuff that we've sent out of just hitting big with the SCBAs and the rip packs, pull the stuff off and go over this stuff with your crews and just kind of keep building on that and try to keep everybody involved instead of just sitting around bored and moping all the time because they're kind of locked in their engine houses and can't go out and visit anybody. So kind of the things that we've started working on where I work at is just sending out company drills to each individual company officer. Hey, here's some ideas, go over with your crew. Some of it's just basic kitchen table talks, and some of it is get out and pull stuff off, do some area of familiarization, get tools off the trucks, and kind of keep going from there and kind of keep building with it.
You know, and I was working on a different project yesterday, and it's kind of funny because I was watching some old helmet cam videos and actually found a couple of videos from some fires that some of them as long as 8, 9 years ago, and I was watching some of them and picking up on some of the things and go, God damn, look at this or look at how slow this person's moving. I was actually able to pick up on some training ideas by watching that, things that were addressed quite a while back whenever it occurred, but it's amazing just being able to look back on some of those things and then refresh the new ideas on things that you can do. A big one always being the mask up one. You know, that was one that, again, I hadn't practiced in a while, just kind of you become a little bit complacent on it. You say, oh, well, you know, it's good. I've got this down. And then it is a perishable skill. You know, we talk about it all the time, but it was, I didn't realize I had gotten as rusty as what I had until I started doing it the other day. And then I was like, oh, shit, I should have been doing this a long time ago. Who else got something?
You know, one thing that we created is a book that we sent out to every member in every engine house that these guys can train on. These, I think it's like 25 or 30 skills that they train on, sign off, and turn in, because we can't do full company drills. But we can send these books out. It explains everything, what each drill is supposed to do. They can make it as in-depth as they want or not as in-depth. But it's a basic thing to get them out of the living quarters, get them out in the engine bay, doing some skills, ladders, SCBAs, rip bags, a big one, just mass changeovers. That was a big eye-opener for some guys. Simple knots, simple systems, hose, just advancing hose lines up and downstairs. That was a big one too. But we have trying to do something. We send everything online as well as these books so they can at least get some sort of interaction. We do Zoom meetings. We got to do something because this has been very tough for a lot of people not getting big group hands-on skills, but we're still running the big hands-on calls. So this is a big adaption for us. This is one thing that seems like it's really helping, but we'll see how it goes. It's relatively new for us.
Yeah, Dave, we kind of started doing the same thing, like you said, along with just sending stuff out to individual company officers of, hey, here's some ideas, and pretty much just sent out a couple company drills a month and idea of like, here's in detail so anybody can set this up and run it at the kitchen table, in the engine room, and just stuff to get everybody out and working. The SCBA and the rip bag was a big one. Eye-opener, I did that with one of my crews a few months ago and kind of put them in a darker room, but they still had flashlights, but didn't black out any masks. And is one of those, okay, find a member that has a problem with their SCBA, fix it. And if it requires dragging the rip bag in, how can you do the quick connects and all that? And a lot of that was huge eye opener for a lot of our people that haven't played with it and haven't had it off. And, you know, first thing, everybody's wanting to rip gloves off and do all this stuff, and just getting them used to like, nope, feel the connections. Remember how to work through it. And then we kind of, every drill, we upped it a little bit. You know, we either put them in a deeper spot in this room. By the end of it, we had the lights off, had a stereo blasting in there just to kind of get the, break it down a little bit so they, some sensory deprivation and just building confidence with the whole thing. And it kind of works out. But it, some of that small stuff, it's the basics, trying to get back to the basic stuff that people forget. But that's what a lot of people kind of lack on a lot of times, because they always forget the basics. And, you know, the kind of people get so advanced with stuff, and then having to go back to just the easy stuff is what people mess up on a lot. And you see that kind of like what Gary was talking about with watching some videos and like looking back at other calls, and you could see that from still pictures and stuff like that. Like, man, I wouldn't have thrown that ladder in that spot again if I had to think about it again. So,
yeah, you know, one thing we found out with those books is even on the individual level that these guys are going out and doing it on their own without, you know, being with their captains or their crews, something that they want to work on to get better. They'll do certain stuff with companies, but we found that these guys are really getting into the basic stuff again and really are working on these skills on their own. It's been pretty cool. It's great feedback so far. It's relatively new, so we'll see how it works. But yeah, it's good to see the basic skills getting hit again.
Kyle, just to kind of tack onto that, I'm a pretty firm believer that if you give me a, you know, a crew of guys that have the basics really dialed in to the point where masking up is automatic, it's an afterthought. Now that makes those guys so much more effective in super complex situations because they've got the basics so dialed in that it's not even a thought. So I'm a huge fan of, you know, the mask drills. And, you know, some guys, when you're like, okay, it's time to mask up, they're like, oh, and they really have to commit and think about it. When you just do that out of muscle memory, you're able to advance to the next thing and the next thing while you're just doing what should be a passive action in our profession. So I think the basics are great, and I think that companies that are really good at the basics excel in those difficult situations because the basics are just so automatic to them. You know, and that goes for tech rescue and all that stuff. I mean, when when the easy skills, or what should be easier, truly are easy to those people, I think they do better in more difficult situations, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's a lot. Like I talk to people all the time, especially when I'm at the academy with the new recruits. And like, you need to, I know a lot of this stuff you get the new recruits are like, oh, we're going to throw ladders again. Oh, we're stretching line again. It's like, yeah, we're going to keep doing this until you can't get it wrong. Because I mean, I'm a huge believer in just like basic building construction, and your basic skills will take you a long, long way in this career. Just knowing that stuff. And it shows, like Gary said, watch old videos, but you can do the same on the training grounds when you're running multiple companies through trainings and they show up and you give them something easy and you watch them stretch line and you watch them do these easy skills. Like, okay, you guys got this dialed in to where when they run a call, it's like, hey, we need to go throw this ladder. And you can watch one guy throw a ladder smoothly, and it's not taking multiple people to try to figure out how to get this thing up and how to work with it. So yeah,
and he can do that on his way to go complete one or two other tasks, as opposed to one person that's like, okay, I have to throw a ladder, so I'm going to go get said ladder, then I'm going to go to said window, and then somebody else will be like, well, I'm going to go force this back door, but I might as well go take a ladder while I'm at it, so they can go throw the ladder, put it up, and they're off onto something else. And you know, other people just don't operate like that. And I'm actually reading a book right now. It's a pretty good book. It's called Range, and it talks about having the dangers of specializing, and you can niche down so much, and you can get so close to a problem that you don't have the range or the perspective to stand back and look at things. And that's why they say, you know, being a jack of all trades, master of none. This book would argue that's the best place to be in, because you can end up niching down so tight that you're ineffective. And I feel like some people do that with the fire service, where they get into all this tech rescue stuff and all this hazmat stuff, and then you ask them to, you know, lead a line or mask up or do whatever, and they're like, I haven't done that in years. Well, okay. So I think, you know, there's something to be said for firefighters that have a broad range of skills. And even I think that's why back in the day, you know, all these guys are doing construction and all this stuff, and they would bring those skills, and they would, you know, the tools we used and the skills they had for building construction and all that kind of stuff came from other places. And the argument of this book is also that that's where true creativity comes into play. And you can take something from carpentry, and you can take something from manufacturing, and you can take something from all these different fields and bring them into your field and really utilize them. It's definitely a book that's made me think a little bit about how we train and how I go about work and things like that.
Do you remember who that book was by, who the author was?
Yeah, I got it on my Audible.
And that was
it Half Pictures or Come in an audio book?
It's a coloring book. Yeah.
Perfect.
It's called Range.
Seen, it does have
David
Epstein.
Yep, David Epstein.
Yeah, it does have an audio book.
You'll be able to listen
to this one. Right. Yeah, and that was going to be, you know, Tim, you kind of alluded to it. That was going to be the next question I was going to pose to everybody. Most of us that are on here get the concept of fundamentals and the importance of it and trying to overcome that complacency. But how do you develop that into a culture within? It, you know, sometimes it's easier to do within your crew. Not always. You'll always have that one individual, but more so to make that contagious across an organization, to where that being so proficient at your fundamentals is the norm. How do you spread that? How do you make that contagious versus the other way around?
You know, I think I actually have on my list of things here as well to talk about. You know, talking to people outside of your department. I think that's something we might take for granted, but we get together all the time and talk about fire stuff. And I think we do that as a way to, as an outlet, because we don't have these avenues in our own department. I don't know if there's a way to, I don't know. That's a good question.
But now, some of the stuff that I found, you know, start small. And I mean, I've had drills before trainings that have just accidentally started as a kitchen table conversation of, you know, you start talking about, Steve put on your earmuffs, but it's always like, oh, B crew did this the other day. So, you start kind of talking, talking about it. And next thing you know, I've had crews before that this kitchen table conversation takes off, and an hour later, you know, everybody's got different ideas and like, you know what, let's go play with it. You know, we've had stuff with our trucks before, with our ladder trucks, that we've had conversations on different ways to set up the ladder, different ways to set up different stuff on it. And then next thing you know, we're down in the engine room and we have the truck out and we're doing, have the ladder up and we're discussing stuff and looking at things. And we've done that with ground ladders before. And I've used that a few times. Everybody's at the kitchen table, just throw a topic out and just kind of get it going from there and see if you can kind of keep building on it to get down there. But, you know, leaning on a lot of that stuff's contagious too. Like I've had some new guys before that's like, hey, let's go down, look at the truck and let's do some stuff. That next thing you know, somebody else walks by. He's like, oh, hey, what are you guys doing? And just try to hook people and kind of keep building on it.
I think a big part of that too is leading by example. If the captains went out there doing training on his own, I was out practicing on masking up myself, because that's one thing I'm big on my guys. I hate standing at the door waiting for my firefighter to put their gloves on. So if I'm going to walk or talk the talk, I have to walk the walk. But just leading by example. If you're out there training, you go out there and train with them on everything. I think that's how you start building that culture. Hey, look, the old guy's out there doing something. Maybe we should go out and train some. So to me, that's the place to start. And from there, you just got to keep pushing it.
Anybody else have anything else?
No, I mean, I 100% with what Steve was talking about, just getting out there and doing stuff. And usually people will follow. And once you kind of get going, for the most part, somebody else will jump on. And then a lot of people, it's always been contagious. Like I said, once one person starts, you usually get two or three other ones and they'll jump in. And then a lot of times they'll start competition with each other too, which kind of helps build that also. And then they're really trying to get the reps down. So we've had that a few times, especially with the forceful entry door. That's a huge one. You get one person start banging on the door and the next thing you know, somebody else like, oh, I can get in there quicker than you can. And then they start working on different skills and trying to get their times and everything down.
I got a question for Steve. I think that definitely having, you know, senior captains and senior guys out there, I think that's the most effective thing you can do. But as a middle age time guy, how do you motivate senior or older people to really be that driving force? Because not everybody's like you, and I wish more people were. But and you know, I've got 10, 12 years on. How do we push those older people into being leaders, into pushing those initiatives and doing those things?
Oh boy, if I had the answer to that, I would be rich.
Take apart the recliners.
Well, yeah, there you go. Recliners out of the app room.
I just sit on a horse.
I had that issue. My station, my crew right now, a bunch of young guys. So, you know, I certainly don't have all the answers. I'm just lucky I have a bunch of motivated young guys. And I say this a lot in the right seat leadership class that I do. Everybody wants to talk about the millennials. And I was like, I tell them every time, I say, well, I have a kitchen table full of millennials and I'll take them any day over the guys with 25 years on that just want to sit in a recliner. So give me the millennials.
I think Tim, part of it, and what I've learned from is start by engaging them in conversation on what it was like when they started in the fire service and get them engaged like that around the kitchen table. And it becomes contagious and starts getting the ball rolling. I know I've done that a couple times with a few older guys that I've had in the past, and it seemed to work to an extent.
I have one guy that, well, he's not always the most lovable. He's a great guy, but a good fireman and all that, but he's not always the biggest in training, but he is really big into rope rescue. So anytime we do anything with rope, I put him in charge of teaching a station because he knows his stuff and he just eats it up. He loves doing it. He loves teaching the other guys about that. And that just kind of, you know, they see this guy with, I think he's got 20, 25 years on, I'm not sure, probably at least 20, but they see him with that passion that they're teaching. So I just, here, Mike, you go do this. You teach this part of this rope rescue stuff, and he eats it up. So I don't know if you can.
Yeah, Steve, you're right. You find their niche, even if it's an engineer about pumping the truck, just on something, you know, as simple as, you know, why are we pumping the line at this or whatever, just find their niche. And once you find their niche or get their conversation going, they're going to talk for hours.
Yeah, I've used that tool quite a few times on my battalion, just getting breaking stuff down. And, you know, I'll grab certain people that aren't always the most outgoing or energetic, especially when it comes to training or even teaching. But, I mean, I've got a couple engineers that I can grab and be like, hey, we're going to review this stuff. I want you to lead this. And I'll give them like a day's notice. Hey, tomorrow I want you to do this if you don't mind. And they're usually like, oh, absolutely. And then next thing you know, 2 hours later, and they're still deep involved in trying to spread the word and like really working with everybody. So that's kind of the way in getting some of the older guys, more senior guys, is trying to find, like Scott said, find their niche and just build on that and kind of give them some responsibility to where, hey, you know, we're not just shoving you off to the side anymore. We actually want to hear from your experiences and what can you still bring to the table from, you know, the back in my day stories. You can still learn a lot from those and kind of get their experiences from everything. And that usually gets a lot of them going.
I think for the most part, people don't want to be embarrassed and they want to do a good job. I mean, there's some exceptions on our in the fire service, I'm sure. But I think sometimes the middle or even the junior guys just going out and getting something going, like you guys said, can get everyone going or get the senior members involved or get them to open up. My favorite thing to do is just pick one tool a day or have one, every guy in the company pick one tool and just take it off the truck. And, you know, you may take a day to figure out everything about it, all the specs, all the technical stuff that, you know, we really don't need to know. But when there's limited training opportunities, you know, you could have one person read the book, find everything online, maybe find some videos, and then either type up a little like information sheet on it or you know, just have a 30-minute little talk on tools. I know recently, or within the last few months, Tim and I, we had some newer subbers from the engine, you know, riding over with the squad. So we just started getting a couple cutting tools off, and it turned into like an hour and a half drill where we were finding rebar, and cutting the rebar with every different type of cutter we had on the truck, to Tim simulating being a patient with rebar tucked under his armpit and watching how the material moved and how it heated up. And that was all just randomly started by quizzing one of the new guys from the pumper where a particular tool was on the truck, and it just grew from there into what, an hour and a half, Tim, something like that. I mean, turned into a pretty good drill. So just pick a tool if you're stumped and set it on the floor and see what comes out of it. That's probably the best thing we do.
And even with the drill that Jeff was talking about, even to go one step further as you're going through on that, okay, now this tool isn't here. What's your second option? That kind of, again, it stemmed from a call that we had that, you know, somebody was there. They were good at the fundamentals as long as they had the equipment that it took to do those fundamentals. But as soon as you take away the, just use a Halligan, for example, for forcible entry. Okay, what other tools do you have as far as that's an option to use on that door? And it kind of gets their mindset of thinking on the problem-solving aspect of it, too. I think that's some of it on the training part of it, that sometimes we go through the drills and we go through the motions, but we don't concentrate as much on building the problem-solving skill. And, you know, make sure to include that also with your training.
Yeah, throwing curves at them and problem-solving is always a good one that gets them thinking. And just, you know, takes it up another level, and it's just not the road gap set force, you know, just throwing, just like the door. And I've seen this, so I copied this idea. It's nothing of mine. everything I do is a copy, but setting some pallets up to make it like it's a hallway. So it's narrow access. So it's not just hitting the door. You now have narrow access because we built wall around it using a pallet, or you do stairs going down to the door. I think somebody might've done that in one of our truck classes, but you have to set a steps, put it, you know, put it at the bottom of the steps and put the walls there and just make it more challenging. So yeah, it's still the same fundamentals with a couple curveballs thrown at it. So we always like to do stuff like that.
I think it was a video David sent me of a search class that they had done, and they had actually put the victims, like two or three victims, right inside the door of the bedroom door. They couldn't even get the bedroom door open because the way they had the victims piled up inside the door. Which, again, real scenarios you can encounter. How are you going to get that door open, or how are you going to get to it?
Yeah, we did that a lot, that search class we did through Engine House out there. Just throwing live victims at them too usually really messes them up. But then you put one right inside the door that's a real live victim that I had companies come in and crawl over my live victim that was laying there. And like, oh, I didn't expect somebody to be right there or stuff like that. Or whenever you play, actually communicate with them. I think Jeff did one that he was a citizen or the parent that was trying to get back in the apartment and just seeing how they react and what they do with you. I mean, it ultimately ended. Jeff got his, got back in that apartment, but, just really throwing curveballs at them and really making you think. And because the real world, it's, you're not going to have time to sit back and assess everything to figure it out. And most of this stuff gets thrown at you pretty rapidly and quickly that you need to be on your game to figure certain things like that out. So,
now, you guys mentioned the door earlier, but, you know, these doors been around and everyone's good. And Kyle, you mentioned racing, you know, and it builds confidence. But, you know, a good drill that you can social distance with two people and both go on air and black out your mask and force the door as a team. Everyone's great using the prop with all your senses. I mean, pretty easy now for most of us. So, I mean, lighten how hard it is, you know, limit the wood or whatever tension device you have on the door. And even though I'm not a huge fan of the hoods backwards and all that, but, you know, communicate with your partner and try forcing the door by yourself blacked out. Try forcing the door with a partner, communicating where your hits. Try all the different techniques because it's totally different when you can't see, when you have heavy smoke or limited visibility. I've been there a couple times with Tim and tight quarters and limited visibility. And, you know, just last night, same deal. You know, it's kind of eye-opening for me. Like, hey, I've worked it with Tim several times. Now I need to work it with the other guys. And, you know, it was definitely not as smooth as it could have been for us, or it should have been for us last night. Maybe part of that's getting a little complacent in training during this pandemic and lack thereof.
Normally, I just let you run through the door, Jeff. We could practice that too.
I freaking try. I tried, brother.
Deploy the squad, idiot.
Kool-Aid man.
I tried, man. I didn't have a heli, and I had my axe and hook, but I mule kicked the shit out of it. I'm like, oh boy. Then Jason came up. I'm like, you got a Helligan? And like, yeah. And he got in there, and then pretty good smoke conditions, couldn't see anything. I mean, we got it, but point being, we'll probably be drilling that in the near future.
We kind of had the same thing with that, Jeff. When we had the door last, this one crew I had a few months ago, it went from just basic starting going through it. And then we kind of started messing with it after our workouts. So when everybody was kind of worn out and tired after working out, then they started implementing, hey, we're going to go bang on the door a little bit just to get some practice after a good workout that our heart rate's up and kind of wore out. And I moved it one time, just kind of up against the wall, and that got their brains going and all the ideas. And they wound up shoving this door into closets and entryways and hallways and anywhere that they could physically put it just to get different aspects of, hey, we're not sitting out in an open engine room floor And then it went to this, we got a huge, pretty thick, heavy duty black tarp that we draped over it and started hooking onto stuff just to get those blackout scenarios. So they could still gear up properly, that they weren't worrying about having to put the hoods over their faces and doing that backwards, but to give those scenarios that they could gear up properly, go on air. And then they blacked this thing out and went in there with their normal flashlights like they would, and just tried to force it one person and with partners. And like I said, it was just one time of just, hey, let's scoot this over here to get a different perspective, that just opened up the floodgates. And it got some of the senior guys involved. And then it turned into, they were trying to figure out the best ways to mess with the new guy to get him to go in. And then, I mean, it turned into probably a month straight of every day we worked, they were trying to put this door somewhere else or try to black it out or do something a little bit more realistic on it. And then it works out. And like I said, sometimes it's contagious, and you get one person to do it and it just takes off.
Yeah. And I also do want to clarify, like, when I say I'm not a fan of the hoods backwards, I'm mainly talking about when we're teaching newer people, recruits, you know, fire academies. If all of us being established, and really the majority of the people that are probably listening to this are coming to our class. If you're 3, 4, or 5 years on, and me doing one drill with you with your hood on backwards is going to all of a sudden undo years of bad muscle or good muscle memory by putting your hood on, like, then you're probably in the wrong profession. So I do want to clarify that, you know, if you have experienced guys and they're all good, like, especially in a pandemic, we can't get vacants, we can't go out, we can't go to the drill tower, whatever, can't get the smoke machine, and do some of these drills in zero visibility, even though we all know that most of the time you can see a little something. If you get your head down or get below the smoke, I mean, now's the perfect time to do all that kind of stuff, I think. Do the basics, you know, when you can't see anything, so you don't get caught. Like I have before.
Even just another quick fundamental thrown there with that, you're doing zero visibility, have them have a radio and change your radio channels. Because even if you bump your radio and you end up in a different channel, or even on ours, you could end up in a totally different zone in another world. Can you get that radio back to where you need to be, or at least close? So, you know, throw that in there. That's another thing. That's your important lifeline of communication. Something happens to you and you need to call somebody for help.
Yeah, we're in the process of switching. Actually, there's like our company, that a handful of other companies doing the initial test. We're switching to the Apex radios. And it's weird after years of the other radios, the muscle memory that I have to redevelop. Because like now the volume knob and the antenna are switched between our old radios and our new ones. And about 8 times, I keep reaching down to mess with the volume and I'm twisting the antenna and stuff. So it's crazy how wearing your radio the same way all the time, and just, you don't even notice that you memorize all those buttons, that now we're in the process of reteaching ourselves. Or you come in the morning and you miss the training because you're off, and we catch a run and there's this giant green radio sitting there and you're like, you know, that's kind of stuff we can do another drill, is if you do catch a fire, or you do, you know, see something interesting when you're making relief, you know, your social distance relief 6 feet away, you know, go a little more in depth into what you did at the fire and the drills you did. And maybe it'll give ideas to the guys coming in or girls coming in for the next shift, you know, go is way more in depth than you normally would, and pass on information, because that could be as good as any training bulletin you would get from a training chief or training captain, you know, if they sent something out.
Does anybody have any other thoughts, ideas on some trainings for fundamentals? And
are you going to wrap it up, or are you going to switch to doing a little physical fitness stuff?
Tim.
There's that bus.
What's
up? Throwing you under that bus.
Right. Yeah. Well, somebody mentioned before, and
I'm just as guilty about it. But now's an excellent time to put more emphasis on your own physical fitness. Mm-hmm. I know I'm going to try that. Because I can't get out, do stuff, sit around bored. What happens when you're bored? You eat, or, you know, so I know definitely a good option and a good time now. I mean, we have to take turns and like schedule yourself in the gym, but even just doing stuff in your room or by yourself, now's a perfect time for that. And I'm going to take that advice to heart myself, because I know I have a lot, you know, I could use a lot more of that myself.
You and me both, man. I've been, since December 1st, I've been concentrating on fitting any type of junk food in my mouth, not so much on fitness.
Yeah, that's the only fitness I'm doing, fitness whatever in my mouth.
So, Tim, you know, maybe kind of just throw a subject out there to start off with. What are two things, cheap, relatively inexpensive things that we can get to do some fairly easy workouts? Like if I don't know, if departments, weight rooms are closed or something. I know a lot of you guys all have your own rooms. You could probably roll a couple beds out of the way or something. You know, maybe a couple things that doesn't take a ton of space that's, you know, I guess Christmas is up. Maybe throw a couple things out there that's worth it, or a couple workouts, body weight type workouts, Tim. Be good.
Yeah. So I guess I will start off by saying, like, a lot of people do New Year's resolutions, and I know it's taboo, but I think anytime you sit down and truly evaluate where you're at and how you can get better, and you actually make a push towards that, I think that's great. It just so happens to be a lot of people think about it at the New Year's. I almost make New Year's resolutions, quote unquote, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 times a year, where I kind of evaluate where I'm at. I set a goal, I make a push towards it, and then I back off a little bit. And then I set a goal and make a push towards it. And I'll be doing, I don't even call it a New Year's resolution, but I'm setting a goal, and I've got a race to run, and I'm going to dedicate some time to train to that and try and get better. So anytime you think about where you're at and how to get better, I think you're winning. To Jeff's question, body weight stuff is great. I think a sandbag is under $100. And unfortunately, dumbbells, if you can find them, I think dumbbells are great too, because a dumbbell can sub as a kettlebell or whatever you want to do. I follow a programming site that I pay $15 a month for. And they do all the programming for all the workouts that I do. So I can just log on to that, and they have a body weight option. They have a barbell option. They have dumbbell options. They have a sandbag option. So any type of workout they have all those different options broken down. And then they also have ones, it's called shift programming. They have a lower intensity, a little bit easier. So like we were talking before, I had 2 broken ribs earlier this month. I was still able to take that shift programming, and it was a watered-down version of the workout of the day. It's CrossFit-esque stuff, but there's all kinds of stuff in there you can get into. And for $15 a month, to just be able to look at your phone or this app and see what you can do for the day, it's a great way to do it. And they have, like I said, body weight, sandbag, all that kind of stuff. So even if you have limited equipment, I just work out in my garage. I've got a couple $100 worth of equipment, no barbells, no nothing. And I can get some pretty good workouts in. So I think all those things would be a good start to take your health and wellness a little more seriously.
That and a legit pull-up bar.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to be using no gas pipe piece together a pull-up bar, because that will break. And I don't know if I mentioned that app, but it was for the programming. It's called Street Parking. The idea being you park in the street because you're working out in your garage. So if you're interested, look that up.
And for you cheap guys out there, be hard doing any firefighter fitness without 555 Fitness has a free app that puts some pretty good stuff up there. And if you just want to pay like one time thing for something cool, there's a couple different companies out there that make a deck of playing cards.
Yep.
You know,
I'm a big supporter of the Brute Force bags. And I think Brute Force has an app as well. Once you, I think it's free.
It is free. Yep.
Yeah. So they post workouts and challenges, and that's another thing where you kind of turn it into a firehouse challenge. You know, like we got a rower at the firehouse, and we were like, man, let's just see who can rip off 500 meters the fastest.
Terrible idea.
Guys, yeah, we got guys like dry heaving in the engine bay just because they want to win. They don't care about getting in better shape. They just want to win and be able to run their mouths for the next month. So
we did that with the exercise bike. That was the worst thing ever.
What did you do, like 50 cows or something?
I think I got a video of Tim laying on the runway going to an elevator run saying, that was a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Like unable to breathe. I mean, it was not great.
Yeah.
Of course, I saw that, then I had to do it and beat them, and then someone else had to go beat me, and it just escalated from there.
Yeah, we got one of our firehouses in the engine room. They got a big dry erase board that usually has a challenge with everybody's initials and their times next to everything.
I do want to say before we wrap up, I know myself, I believe Tim, Torres, a couple other people from Engine House that are involved with Engine House. Look up First Form in 75 Hard. We're starting that on the 2nd. If enough people reach out to us or shoot me a message on Facebook or email or whatever, we can put a group together and kind of keep each other all motivated and on track and do a little Engine House training, 75 Hard. But it's not for the faint of heart, but check it out with First Farm and Andy Frisilla and all that stuff.
Okay, with that, we'll kind of get wrapped up for this afternoon. We'll go around if anybody's got any closing thoughts for the discussion and for the year. We'll start off, Jeff?
I would say I got to get better. I don't think I trained or drilled as much as I should have during the pandemic. There were some dark times and stuff, but lights at the end of the tunnel, and we got to find a way to get better and not lose track of the end goal. You know, the citizens we swore to protect, and I got to look in the mirror and get better. So I don't have a lot. I think there was some great stuff in here, and looking forward to the new year and hopefully getting back to some sense of normal or the new normal.
Olsey, you got anything?
No, we're just treading through uncharted waters for training now with, individual or limited company training. And I think we're doing the best we can, and we're always modifying our rotations, our schedules, our training, because everything seemed to be, it was day by day. Now it seems like it's hour by hour because things are constantly changing. So we just have to remain to be open-minded and, just keep moving forward.
Dave.
Yeah, just trying to be creative and on how to keep our training going during this time. Just staying involved and, make sure reach out, touch everybody, talk to everybody about, what to do and how's it going, and keeping everybody involved is our big thing. And, kind of with the fitness stuff is big thing for me is writing it down and putting it somewhere I could see it every day, whether it's in my locker at the firehouse, I'm here at the house or wherever it is, I just got to see it so I keep my goals going forward and keep everybody involved.
Been awful quiet all afternoon, but he's not getting off that easy. Mike, what do you got?
Just find that motivation for yourself and your crew and run with it. The best thing you can do is get outside and go for it. So find that crew motivation, find that personal motivation and run with it. Don't let yourself slack on it.
Tim?
Yeah, I think when Jeff summed up the whole podcast, we all got to get better. And whether that's fitness or that's training, whatever it is, last year was tough and life's just going to be tough. And we, as a profession, get paid to thrive in adversity. And I don't think next year will be different. It'll be tough in its own way. And so will the year after that. And then as soon as you realize that it's going to be tough, it's a hard job, life is hard, and you just got to work with it. You work with what you got and do the best you can and get better.
Steve.
Sorry, my thing's messing up. I would say you just have to take responsibility. You have to own your training. So if you're a firefighter and your officer is not providing the training, you go do your own. If you're an officer and your training officer is not providing the training, you do the training and you have to give it to your guys. There's always something to review. I was just counting the other day, I've been on the job in the county for 33 years. Well, I'm getting towards the end of my career, but there is still something I can go out every day and train on. Like I said, the other day we had a competition with all my young guys about who can mask up the fastest. So every day, and I still practice. I call it the Wiffelmeyer method. I still do the way Jeff taught me. But just get better at it. Now do it with gloves. So there's always something you can do. It doesn't matter how long you've been on the job, but everybody's responsible for your own training. And if it's not being provided for you, you go do it yourself. How would I have? And I can't wait.
Appreciate you calling it that, Steve. But
every time my guys how to do it, I said this is the Wiffelmeyer method.
I wish you would. I mean, that's cool, but just like everything else, all of us teach. Wish I was smart enough to think of that.
You call all text because it works like half the time.
What? Oh, that's pretty good. That hurt. That cuts deep, asshole. Leave that out, fire engineering. Like pretty much everything we all teach, and none of us made any of this up. You know, we take what we learn from senior guys, and a lot of you are on this podcast that I've learned stuff from, and you may add a tweak here or there, but ultimately, no instructor's coming up with anything new. And if they tell you that, they're probably full of shit. So
all my stuff, I say all the time, it's all copy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just
absolutely
using it a different way, maybe. But yeah. Anyway, that's all I have.
Kyle had to jump out for a second, so we didn't have anything from him. The only thing I got, I think you guys pretty well summed everything up. You know, just you have to be your own motivation to be able to do what it is that you're going to do. So first off, thank you for joining in, listening in, whether you're listening through the Fire Engineering or you're listening through our podcast. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for sticking with us with some of the things that we did throughout this year. Hopefully next year will be a little bit better, a little bit more organized on the things that we can do and be able to get out a little bit more. And not having these trainings as far as how do we overcome these hurdles. The biggest thing is, as we've hit on today, do what you can to make yourself better and keep your training and keep everything moving forward. With that, hope you had good holidays. Enjoy the new year. Thanks for joining us. We're with Engine House Training, and thanks for your time. Have a good one, and we'll catch you next time.